Certainly is a pleasure to be here this morning for us to have assembled at a time such as this, come together and to worship God. We're thankful for the presence of each and every one of you. We have some among us that are visitors. We are glad for your presence. We hope that you have come here with one intention, and that is the intention that we have, and that is to worship God. It is a little bit snowy outside, but we have a good number, and we are glad for your presence. If you have your New Testaments, turn with me to James, the first chapter. Just a few moments, we'll be reading verses 19 down through verse 27. We'll see what James has to say and talk about God's mirror this morning. In James chapter 1, and beginning in verse 19 down through the remainder of the chapter, James is talking about the word that God has given unto us, and that we are to be not only just hearers of the word, but also doers of those things that have been written. He says, therefore, beginning in 19, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We want to consider this morning the things that James has to say here concerning that mirror that God has given unto us that we can look into to see how we are spiritually. This is an exhortation here in these few verses by James to hear rather than just to simply speak. We are to listen to the words of God. And you know, as human beings, we are often fall into a trap in that we want to speak rather than listen to other individuals. And in our speaking, we have that opportunity to show maybe the knowledge that we have, the wisdom that we have gained through the years. We can give advice unto others rather than seeking their advice. And so we like to speak sometimes rather than listen. Unfortunately, we have found that this is an attitude that has spilled over into many relationships that they have with God. That they just want to speak to God. They want to tell God what they would like rather than listen to the things that God has to say. We can see a good example of that in the world today, in the religious world, especially in the Roman Catholic Church, especially those in the United States, as they're not satisfied with what God has to say, but they are wanting to tell God what they want, and that is that they want women priests. We see this in our country today. We see that this happens a lot of times in religion. People just don't want to listen to what God has to say. They want to tell God what they want. James here is talking about we need to listen. We need to hear what the Word of God has to say. But not only just hear it, but also do it. We should hear and we must do the things that God has told us to do. Hearing without doing equals absolutely nothing at all. And if we could write an equation, that's what we would write. That hearing minus doing equals nothing at all. Regardless of how we might listen to the Word of God, regardless of how much knowledge we might gain from the things that are written here, that if we do not do those things, then it equals absolutely nothing in our spiritual life. In verse 22, James shows that we must act upon the Word of God. We must do those things. He echoes the words of Paul, and Paul writes in the second chapter of Romans in verse 13, "For not hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." And then in verse 23 and 24, things we want to talk about this morning, he gives an illustration here that we can all understand. And it's an illustration that we can see in life that happens. And that is comparing the Word of God spiritually to a mirror in which we can look and we can see how we are. God's Word is a mirror in which we may see our spiritual image reflected back at us. Spiritually, we can see as we look into the Word of God that dirt that might be on our face, again, those sins that we commit. We can see those things, and we can see the remedy that God has given unto us of how to remove those things from our life. As we look into a mirror physically, we see that dirt. We might see the hair that we have as it is out of place. Spiritually, the Word of God is that mirror that we can look at to make sure that things are arranged properly in our spiritual life, to make sure that there are priorities, that our priorities are straight before God. A hearer only will go away from God's Word after looking into it, knowing what he or she must do, and then do nothing to improve their condition, spiritually speaking. An individual may look into the Word of God and discover that dishonesty is wrong before God, but yet as they discover that, they'll go away, and in their own life, they do absolutely nothing about it. This is what James is talking about here. Those who would know what God would have them to do, who would listen, who would be hearers, but not doers of God's Word. By listening to what God has to say, man can know what he is and what he ought to be. He can, in his or her life, behold what is wrong and then do something about it to make that change that is wrong in their life right with God. We are reminded that if we don't live day by day by those things that are taught in the Word of God, then there's really no point in listening to the Word of God. Because as he goes on to say, our worship, our religion is vain. And these are the things that James is trying to express in these few verses. That if we don't live day by day the things that are written here, then our religion is vain. We want to talk, as we said, we want to consider this morning that this is God's mirror. And let us look into it. Let us individually look into the Word of God and ask ourselves the question, what do I see when I look into God's Word? We don't want to consider anybody else. This is a personal question this morning. What do I see in myself when I look into the Word of God? What is reflected back at me? And as I said, we don't want to talk about the person that's sitting next to you. What do they see when they look into the Word of God? But what do I see? What is it that is reflected back at me from this mirror that God has given unto us? We would ask this question then, what do I see? And as you look into the Word of God, do you see a person who is not saved? Is that the image that is reflected back at you? You know, the world is divided into two different groups, spiritually speaking. Those who are saved, those who are in the body of Christ, those who have accepted the conditions of salvation, been obedient unto those, that's one group. And the other group is those who are spiritually not saved. That's the way the world is divided. And when everybody looks into the Word of God, we find a lot of them looking back at them is an unsaved person. There are countless millions of individuals in this world today who are not saved. Now, they have access to the Word of God. Perhaps they even understand the things that God would have them to do. But they reject it. They look into God's perfect law of liberty, and they refuse to do the things that are written there. You know, there's a variety of reasons why people don't obey the Word of God. And I suppose we might say that there's as many reasons as there are people that they don't obey what God has to say. They also know, as they look into God's perfect law of liberty, what they must do. And they know how God sees them, that they are unsaved. We run across those kind of people every day in our life. They realize they're not doing God's will, but they don't care. They're too involved in the things that they want to do, following their own desires, the pleasures of the flesh, and they really don't care how God sees them. And yet they know what is in their own life. They know how God looks at them and how they are spiritually. You know, physically speaking, we might have an excuse to have maybe sloppy looks. That is, our hair out of place, our dirt on our face, whatever it might be, if there were no mirror in which we could look, if there was no mirror that we had that we could look to see whether things were out of place or whether there was dirt, we might have an excuse to look that way. But we don't have that excuse, do we? Because mirrors are very cheap, they're very inexpensive, they're plentiful, and we can buy one and we can look and we can see how we are. Spiritually speaking, we might say we could have an excuse if we were not living right. But God has given to us a mirror in which we can look, and we can know how we are spiritually. And there's really no excuse for not looking properly, for being unsaved when we look into God's Word. God's Word reveals unto us concerning those that are not saved that they are walking in darkness. In John chapter 12 and verse 46, we find Christ speaking there. And John is a writer that talks about light and talks about darkness. And Christ here is making the point in verse 46. I have come as a light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Christ came into the world so that he might bring light unto mankind. And he might show unto mankind that which is right and that which is wrong. And therefore, man is without excuse if he is in darkness. But those who are not saved, those who are outside of the family of God, are in that darkness. And the reason is, as Christ expressed it in John chapter 3 and verses 19 through 21, that men love darkness rather than the light. After he talks about that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Christ concludes the things that he has to say to Nicodemus by these words. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Christ says, I'm the light that's come into the world. But men don't love the light. They love the darkness. They love to cover up the things that they are doing. They don't want those things exposed. He says, the light exposes them. So therefore, they hate the light and they love the darkness. They love the darkness because light demands that they make a change. When people look into the perfect law of liberty, into this mirror that God has given, they see the light. They see what they are. And they don't like it. They are in darkness. And they are without God and they are without Jesus Christ. Paul expresses this in Ephesians chapter 2, in verses 11 and 12. He talked about the Gentiles as they once were. He makes this statement concerning them. He says in 11:12, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. He says this is the individual that looks into God's law and he sees that the reflection back, that they're unsaved, that they are not within the family of God. They are in darkness. They are without God. They are without Christ. They're alienated. What this simply means is that they have no hope of eternal life. There is no salvation that is going to be extended unto them. They are lost, and they are, spiritually speaking, in death. When an individual looks into God's perfect law of liberty, that's what he sees if he is unsaved. In Romans 3 and 23, we find there that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6 and 23 says the wages of sin is death. This is what happens to the person that looks into God's law, looks into that mirror and sees reflected back at them an unsaved individual. It is their sins that separate them from God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 1 through 6, once again, we find Paul expressing there the individual and what has happened to the individual when they have put on Christ and before that. And this is the condition that the individual is in. When that person looks into the mirror of God and they see that unsaved person, but you know, God's given a remedy for this individual, for this person who is not saved. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, we read there, as Peter writes, that God wants all to come to repentance. He does not want anybody to be lost. And so he gave mankind the means whereby he can be saved. that he has given unto us the perfect law of liberty, and in obeying that, we can be saved. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, we find Christ himself calling upon everybody to do those commandments that he has given. For he is the author of eternal salvation to all who would obey him. The writer of the book of Hebrews says in the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9, there are countless millions of people who take God's word, who take this mirror, and they look in there, and what they see is a person who is unsaved. But God has given us a remedy. He's given us the means whereby we can be saved, and we don't have to stay in that spiritual condition. Is that what you see when you look into God's word? Is reflected back at you someone who is not saved? Do you look into the word of God, into this mirror that has been given, and in that reflection, do you see a person that is deceived? Again, there's a lot of people who are just like that. Spiritually speaking, they are deceived. There are millions who are like this. They have been deceived by Satan, and he is the great deceiver. He is the one that is the great liar, and he would have us also always be deceived in this way. There are many reasons, as there are for people to be lost. There are many reasons why people are deceived. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we find the proverb is talking there about a way that seems right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. People are deceived because the things that they are doing seems right and it seems good to them. And we find time and time again people justifying the things that they're doing in religion because of the ends that are brought about. That the ends justify the means that they have. And they're being deceived in this way. They're being deceived by Satan. They follow false doctrines, and because of that, their worship is in vain. Christ talks about that in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, the Pharisees there. As they followed their traditions, they had set up for generations, and that had taken them away from the word of God. And instead of doing the word of God, they were following those traditions. And as a result, their religion was vain. These people were deceived. And when they looked into God's law, when they looked into that mirror, that's what was reflected back at them. Person who was deceived. And again, we have millions upon millions of people who are that way now. These are people who have not looked closely into God's mirror. They have taken the words, or taken words of others, rather than examining God's word itself. You know, a lot of times we do this physically. We may not have a mirror around, and we ask somebody else, well, what do we look like? And they'll give us their opinion of how we look. A lot of people do that religiously also. They don't look into God's mirror. They don't look into God's word and find out what God wants them to do. They'll just listen to others. And they'll listen to the things that they've got to say. This is the way that my parents did this. This is the way that we have done it for so many years. And so they rely on others. And they are deceived by these. We find that in some instances, spiritually speaking, they are content with what they're doing. And they have no desire whatsoever to change. But God has given a remedy for those who are deceived. He can't make us be honest with ourselves. This is something that we have to decide to do. But he can provide for us that word that we can look into. And for those who are honest, they can know what they look like spiritually. They can compare themselves with the word of truth that has been given. But again, ask yourself, when I look into God's law, when I look into this mirror that he has given to me, do I see reflected back at me someone who is deceived? Someone who has been fooled by Satan, or the traditions or the religions of man? Or do I see someone who is honest? When I look into God's perfect law of liberty, that mirror that has been given, do I see an individual that would be classified as a worldly person? Are you one of those individuals that can't see yourself really as you are because of a love that you have for the world? You know, that happens to a lot of people. Have you ever tried to look into a mirror and someone else gets in your way? You know, you can't see yourself because of that individual. You know, you're standing in front of a mirror and you're trying to see what you look like. You trying to see if your hair's in blaze or if your clothes are straight, and someone gets in your way. There's someone, you know, kind of moving around in front of you, and you can't see what you look like. Spiritually speaking, there are a lot of people like that when it comes to the world. They're looking into God's law. They're trying to see what they look like. But unfortunately, the world gets in their way. And they can't see what they truly are, spiritually speaking. There are some who are in the body of Christ who are just like that. James writes, as we made mention just a few moments ago, what he had to say. This time in the 4th chapter in verse 4, he makes mention there, whoever therefore would be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. He is speaking to individuals here who are members of the church. He's speaking to those that make up the body of Christ. And yet there were some who would try to be friends with the world. And he says there that if you're a friend with the world, you're an enemy with God. There are some in the church who are just like that. That they try to look into God's law, but they can't see what they really are because of the world that is between them and the Word of God, that mirror that would reflect their image. If you are one of those individuals that's a worldly person in the body of Christ, you can be sure that you're going to reap what you sow. Paul makes that statement in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. We should not be deceived. That whatever that we sow, that's the thing that we are going to reap. And if we sow to the flesh, then that's what we're going to reap. If we sow to the Spirit, then that's what also we are going to reap. And if the world is that thing that gets between us and the Word of God, and we can't truly see ourselves, then we're going to reap that. We're going to produce also the works of the flesh. And this will not allow us to enter into the kingdom of God. As an unrighteous person, that person who is a worldly individual, he will not inherit the kingdom of God. God has given unto us in his word the remedy. If we look into his mirror and we find that worldly person, he has given us a remedy. We can get rid of that image. We can get rid of that world in our life. In 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15, 16, and 17, John talks there by inspiration concerning the love of the world. We are not to love the world. We are to set that aside. We are to love God more than anything else. In Romans 8 and verse 13, Paul makes the statement there, if you live after the flesh, ye must die. If we live after the flesh, we live after the world. If we look into that mirror and we see that worldly person, then we can count on it. We are going to die. We're going to be separated from God. And the way that God has asked us, the way that God has commanded us to get rid of that worldly person that we see, is not to love the world. Is this how God sees me? Does he see me as a worldly person? Does he see me as a child that belongs unto him? Or does he see me as a child of the world? We can know how God views us. We can know absolutely how he sees us, either as a child of the world or one who is in his family. When we look into that perfect law of liberty, what do we see? Do we see a worldly person? Or do you see yourself among those who are unfaithful? This is, again, is something that is addressed to those who are Christians. Do you see yourself as being an unfaithful child of God? If some of us were honest with ourselves, I think we'd probably have to answer that question as yes. I'm not faithful unto God. I would see reflected back at me someone who is not really faithful unto God. There are areas probably in our life where we don't even attempt to be faithful unto God. Some of those areas that we would consider would be that of attendance. Are we faithful unto God in attendance? Is that reflected back at us in the Word of God that we see? You know, Hebrews 10 and verse 25 talks about not forsaking the assembly. But do we see reflected back at us someone who would be unfaithful in that particular area? Or in studying the Word of God, we are to give diligence to show ourselves approved. Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. We are to give diligence so that we might be approved in the sight of God. But do we find ourselves unfaithful in that area as we see reflected back at us? Or in evangelism, We take every opportunity that we possibly can to teach others the Word of God. Are we unfaithful in that area? Or in the giving of our means? Overall, would we be classified as an unprofitable servant before God? When we look into God's law of liberty, once again, if we're honest with ourselves, is that what we see reflected back at us? Someone who is unfaithful. If it is, then God once again has given a remedy to us. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, we are told there to be faithful unto death. You know, it's not an easy task to be faithful unto God. It's a constant battle that we have every day of our life. To constantly overcome the world, to constantly overcome the desires that we have to follow the pleasures of the flesh. But we can be faithful with the strength and with the help that God gives unto us. So the church is there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. He gives the statement to each one of them, he that overcomes, certain things will be given to them. We all have our weaknesses. We all have our shortcomings. We all have those areas in which we are tempted to be unfaithful unto God. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. With the strength and with the help that is afforded us through Jesus Christ our Lord, we can look into that perfect law of liberty, that mirror that God has given, and we can see someone who is faithful. But as we look, do we see someone who is unfaithful? When we look also, do we see an individual that is unfruitful? There are some Christians who would be this way. They don't like to consider this area of their life because they know that upon examination, they would fail miserably because they have not been fruitful in the kingdom of God. They have not produced those things in their life that they should. They know that God's mirror would reflect dire deficiencies in this particular area. We are not to be unfruitful. We are to produce those things in our life that God would have us to produce. In Titus, Paul writes to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 4. He says there, Titus 3 and verse 4. He says, But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. He goes on and he talks about how we are to be. But I suppose I'm in verse 14 of chapter 2, who gave unto us, he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify him for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. That's the way that we are to be. We are to be zealous for good works. We are to produce fruits in our life that is pleasing in the sight of God. We must not become individuals who are blind, forgetting those things that have been done for us. And you know, Peter talked about that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Those individuals, he said, that did not add these things to their lives. He talks about those Christian graces that are there. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Unfortunately, that's what happens to some of us. When we become unfruitful, we forget those things that God has done for us. Some have lost the humility that brought them to Jesus Christ, their Lord. God has given a remedy for those who are unfruitful. And in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about those Christian graces that we are to add to our life. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if you add these things to your life, here is God's remedy for us when we look into his mirror and we find those things that are not being produced in our life. He says, here's what you need to do. add these things to your life and you won't be this way. You won't be unfruitful. You look, though, into God's mirror and you find that person who is unfruitful. Or do you look in God's mirror and you see yourself as being a faithful child of God? This is the way that we need to be. This is the way that we are to be. And God will use us if we are faithful unto Him. He has no use for those who are not fruitful. He has no use for those who are not faithful unto Him. If you're faithful, if you look into God's perfect law of liberty, and you see reflected back at you someone who is faithful, you need to continue to do that. Continue to be faithful unto Him, always abounding in the work that He has given. You need to let your love for Christ and your love for others abound. Let it overflow, producing these things as we talked about in your life. Let your life be in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to hold fast to that word of truth that has been given. Stand fast in the Lord. Let Him be the anchor for your soul. And always abound in His word. When you look into God's perfect law of liberty, when you look into that mirror that has been given unto us, what do you see? This mirror that God has given is for everyone. It is for the Christian, and it is for that individual who is not the child of God. This law has been given for those who are faithful and those who are unfaithful. James instructs us here to be a hearer and a doer of the word. He says that person is going to be blessed. Hearing is a means to an end. It is not the end in and of itself. And this is what a lot of people think. They think as long as I just listen to the things that God has to say, then everything's going to be fine. But that's not the end in and of itself. It is the means to an end of being faithful in the sight of God. How does God view you in your spiritual state? We might think to ourselves, well, I truly can't know. I don't know how God sees me. And that's not true. We can know exactly how He views us. We can know exactly what He thinks of us in our spiritual condition by looking into His Word. It is that mirror that reflects back at us what we are spiritually. And as you look, do you see someone who is unsaved? If you do, then you can remedy that situation this morning. Do you see someone who is unfruitful? Do you see someone who is unfaithful? Do you see an individual that has been deceived by the traditions that are found in the world? The Word of God lets you know what you need to do. We are without excuse. Again, if God had not given us this particular book, then we could claim before Him on the day of judgment, we didn't know what we needed to do. We didn't know what we looked like spiritually. But we are without excuse because we can know how God views us. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, you lie in that realm of those that are unfaithful. That's what God views you as. That's how you can see yourself in His Word. That you are not His child. That you are lost and in darkness outside of the realm of those who are saved. Outside of the realm of the family of God. There's a song that we're going to sing in just a few moments. It's called Redeemed. Right now, outside of the family of God, you are not redeemed. But as you obey those commandments that have been given, you can be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can have your sins washed away, and they'll be remembered against you no more. You can be in God's family this morning. How does God view you? Saved, unsaved, faithful, not faithful? You can remedy all of those situations this morning. You can be His child. The song has been selected. We would hope that you would answer God's call of salvation this morning and be added to the family of God. Won't you obey as we stand and as we sing?